Yeah.
Wild Card Wednesday.
Yeah, Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday.
So we were just talking about Nirvana in the fall of 1991, and that brings me right back to that time with our first Wild Card Wednesday request. Mike from Michigan, Red Hot Chili Peppers, give it away. And we're about to talk about Lollapalooza. And Red Hot Chili Peppers appeared in the first Lollapalooza or the second one. Because I know I went and I saw them. I think it was 92. I think it was the second Lollapalooza. The first Lollapalooza was in 91. Oh, by the way, I'm Nick DiGilio. Hi. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. And Steve Cochran at 6. If you are making Wildcard Wednesday requests, please post them as Wildcard Wednesday. Tag them Wildcard Wednesday. Because we're going to do some other music stuff here, and we don't want to be confused by what isn't a Wild Card Wednesday request and what is. So make sure you tag them Wild Card Wednesday to make your request. 312-981-7200. So Lollapalooza four-day tickets have sold out. Now, I don't know, Esmeralda, doesn't that seem strange that you would buy a four-day ticket to a show, a four-day festival, and you don't know who the acts are yet?
Not for Lollapalooza.
Really?
Yeah, because even if you don't, say you don't like anybody, when they finally do let out the list, yeah, someone will, and someone will pay a pretty penny for that.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. I never think about the reselling of tickets. I don't know why I never, that never really even occurs to me. But the mad scramble for Lollapalooza tickets, the annual music fest that will take over Grant Park from August 3rd through the 6th, oh, man, that's the same weekend as a flashback convention. That's the same weekend as our crazy flashback convention with all the horror. So there will be no horror fans at Lollapalooza. They're all going to be at the Crown Plaza Hotel, where we're all going to be celebrating a weekend full of nutcase horror fans. So, yeah. They went on sale at 2 a.m. Tuesday, and they sold out in 2 hours and 24 minutes. Single tickets will be available for purchase Wednesday at 10 a.m. So today at 10 a.m. And the lineup will be revealed at 6 a.m. on the festival's website. Oh, so we're only 3 hours away from the reveal. Have there been any, Dan, like, leaks? Or, like, does anybody think about who's going to be appearing?
Yeah, so the early words is that Chance the Rapper will probably be appearing because he recently announced a tour and did not have any Chicago dates, and Lollapalooza doesn't allow you to come to town 3 months before or after Lollapalooza.
That makes sense.
So he's one of the rumored acts. Muse and Lord are the other ones I've heard.
Oh, okay. All right. I like all three of those acts. I kind of fell in love with Lord a couple of weeks ago when she was on SNL. She's a loon. I wasn't aware that she was loony. Esmeralda, did you know that Lord was a loony?
I did not.
Well, she acted like a damn loon on SNL, and I enjoyed it. Jeez. Single-day tickets, they'll be available today at 10 a.m. after 6 a.m. when they announce the lineup. Lollapalooza's official Twitter account began retweeting photos and videos of the multiple device ticket hopefuls had waiting and purchasing on standby at around 8 a.m. Fans who logged on early and were still face-to-face with the standby page well after tickets officially went on sale around 10:35. Lala tweeted that four-day passes weren't yet sold out and that fans should try to use alternate browsers. They still waited to get through the purchase page at 11:15 a.m. Frustrated fans began tweeting screenshots of unexpected errors, quote-unquote, that booted them from the ticket line and issues receiving order confirmation emails. In its second year as a four-day festival, Lala promises more than 170 acts across 8 stages. Last year's 25th anniversary celebration drew a record 400,000 fans throughout the long weekend. And speaking with the Tribune about the festival's extra day in 2016, C3 Presents booking agent Houston Powell said he received 1,500 credible submissions from bands and artists looking to play the festival, and that if Lollapalooza was to remain only 3 days, we would have to say no to a lot of bands that we wanted. While the lineup has yet to be announced, Oh, and here's what you just said, Dan. I could have just read that. A few acts are rumored to be headlining, possibly they include Muse, Lorde, and Chance the Rapper, who tweeted Tuesday morning, yeah, I'd buy a ticket. I'd buy the La La ticket.
Oh.
And general admission and weekend passes are expected to sell briskly. It took 46 minutes for the 2016 for the initial batches of the four-day tickets to disappear. Four-day general admission weekend passes are $335 plus fees. VIP passes cost $2,200 plus fees. The Lollapalooza Platinum Package will set you back $4,200 fees included and includes additional perks such as front row access to all four main stages. Visit Lollapalooza.com for info and single-day tickets and hotel travel packages. $4,200 for the Platinum Package. Man. I will say this. I'm not a festival guy. I'm old. I'm grumpy. I'm fat. So I don't like going to festivals anymore. And I don't like people. So, but that you know, Esmeralda, you got to think $335 is not bad. That's not bad at all, actually. For 4 days? I mean, you can choose from over 170 acts. I think that's a pretty good price. I mean, I wouldn't spend it. I wouldn't spend a dime on it. But I think if you look at how much people are paying to go to shows today, nowadays, $335 for 4 days at a festival, I think that's a really, I think, very good price. I'll be honest with you, and I'm gonna tell you something right now, Dan, Esmeralda. $335 is less than I paid for my ticket to Pearl Jam last summer.
Jesus.
So, did you buy it through Ticketmaster?
No, I went to StubHub. So that was one show. And obviously I'm a big Pearl Jam fan. Clearly.
Yeah, I'm kind of... I keep seeing, every year I'll see Lollapalooza's lineup. And for some reason, it just keeps disappointing me more and more.
Yeah.
Like, every year, I'm like, really? That's it?
The thing about it is, and I know it's, and again, Esmeralda, I'm a grumpy old man, as you know. And I just, there are acts that play Lollapalooza every year that are sporadically interesting to me. But to go to Grant Park and there's like 500,000 people down there and, you know, it's August and it might be 150 degrees and everybody's going to be drunk and sweaty or smelling like patchouli. And to see an act that I want to see play 35 minutes, that just doesn't, you know what I mean? I mean, Pearl Jam played for 3 hours and 10 minutes last summer. When Dave plays, he plays two sets that are 3 hours long. That's what I want to see. I can't, you know, if I'm going to go through a crowd, I want to see an act that I love, and I want to see him play for a while. I don't want to see him play 35 minutes and then walk 4 miles to another stage to watch another set of 35 minutes. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I think to your point, too, you had mentioned that, you know, the first couple of Lollapaloozas, you were all about it. And, you know, there was like 8-10 bands that you're like, I want to see them. I want to see them. I want to see them. For me, it's been the law of diminishing returns over the last, like, 6 years. Because every year, you know, when Lollapalooza, like, 2011, 2012, I'm like, oh, my God, I'd see, like, 35 bands here.
Yeah.
And then the next year it would be like, all right, maybe I'd see, like, 15 or 20. And then the last couple of years I'm like, maybe I'd see, like, 5 or 6 that I'd want to see, and they would be the headliners.
Isn't that exactly what, Esmeralda, you feel the same way, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I seem to notice festivals that are coming here aside from Lollapalooza are way better.
Yeah, well, Riot Fest always sparks my interest.
Yeah, Riot Fest, even Pitchfork.
Pitchfork, yeah.
I don't know many of the bands, but I still know that it'll be interesting.
Yeah, you know, I know that Jim Ryan will probably cover it for us. I mean, he covers a lot of the festivals for his blog on ChicagoNow.com, and he covers a lot of music for us. And I know that he'll probably cover all the festivals for us. Maybe we can have him on next week, Dan, to talk about the lineup because they're going to announce it. Maybe we can have him on early next week or something.
Cool. I'll reach out to him.
Yeah, see if we can get him in just to talk about how he feels about the lineup. But yeah, I don't know. But I'm going to go see Dave and Tim at the Northerly Island, and that's a pain in the ass to get to, and there's going to be a lot of people there and a lot of drunk people because that's what happens at Dave shows. but I'm going to see them play two sets that'll last 3 hours. And that, to me, makes sense. That's, you know, I don't know. I'm old. Here's Thomas on WGN. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, good morning, Nick.
Hey.
I just wanted to, you asked a question right when this topic came up.
Yeah.
And it was when did the Chili Peppers play? They played the second Lollapalooza because the first Lollapalooza was Jane's Addiction's farewell concert.
Right, right. Now, the 92, that was 1991, was the very first Lollapalooza. 92 was the Chili Peppers because they also had Pearl Jam was on that.
Right.
It was Ice Cube, I think, was on that one.
Ice Cube, or I think it was Ice Cube. His first one was Ice-T.
Right, right.
And then I think Ministry also.
Right. And I remember the second one was also the first time that the Jim Rose.
Circus Sideshow.
Yeah. Because they came out, they brought Mr. Stomach on stage, or whatever his name is, who swallows a bunch of stuff, drinks a bunch of liquid, and then vomits it back up into a pint glass, and Eddie Vedder drank out of it. I remember he came out on stage.
Oh, that was gross. Yeah, and then they had the second one was Chris Cornell and Eddie Vedder.
Yeah.
I can't remember their little side project.
Yeah, Temple of the Dog. Because Soundgarden was on that stage. Man, that was the best Lollapalooza ever, man. The 92 Lollapalooza was the best.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Thanks, Thomas.
Hey, wait. Before you cut off, with the last segment you did with Great Moments of Vinyl when you were asking them first concert.
Yeah.
My first concert was in 1977 with my brother. I was 8 years old. I saw Pink Floyd at Soldier's Field.
I was there. That's for the Animals.
That was great.
The Animals tour with the giant pig, with giant pig floating over Soldier Field.
Yes, I was there. I was at eight. I was 8 years old.
That's amazing.
Because my brother had to babysit me, and his partner pulled out, and he said, "I'm not missing this concert.
So
you're the ticket."
That's fantastic. What a great story, Thomas. That's a great one, man.
Yes.
Okay, take care, buddy. See ya.
Have a good night.
All right, see ya. I was 12. He was 8. We have no business being there. The weed was so thick in the no question Thomas got high that night. There's no question.
Did it even reach you, considering unless you were a tall kid?
What, the weed?
Yeah, you would be under the cloud.
Oh, no, trust me. You know, it's going to a concert in the 70s, Esmeralda, it's like the weed smoke is like a John Carpenter. It's like the fog. That's what it's like. It was like going to a hockey game at the stadium in the 60s and 70s. The cigarette smoke in the stadium, you'd have to like try to get a, you know, binoculars to look through the cigarette smoke to see the puck. That's the way it was in those days, man. All right. Well, listen, all right, now the question here is, who would you palooza? You want to make your own palooza? You can have acts from anywhere, past or present. What acts would you like to palooza? 312-981-7200. Esmeralda, think about your Esmeralda palooza. And then, Dan, you think about your Danapalooza. And we'll get everybody else's paloozas. Sounds vaguely dirty. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, and any act that you want, we'll palooza them. 312-981-7200. And then we're going to talk about songs that you might not know were actually covers. That's all coming up right here on WGN. This is great, man. We haven't heard from Brian the Gov in like 2 years, and he's contributed twice in two nights now. Great to have you back listening, Gov. You're a good man. He requested Tommy Two Tone, 867-5309 for Wild Card Wednesday. Wild Card Wednesday, yeah! And remember, if you're making a request, 312-981-7200. Make sure you tag it, Wild Card Wednesday. All right. Hey, welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're talking about what would your palooza be? The Lollapalooza tickets went on sale. And I wanted to throw this out here, Dan. I wanted to give maybe the listeners a little bit of homework for tomorrow's show. Tomorrow, by the way, we're going to have magician David Parr on to talk about the magic show. He's got an anniversary for his magic show coming up that he does here in town. Great guy. We've had him on the show before, and And so we'll have him on. We're going to have him on tomorrow. But I just did this list earlier tonight. I've seen a bunch of people doing it on Facebook. And it's the list of your favorite movies for every year that you've been alive. So I figured it out. I was looking them up, and I figured it out. And it's easier for me because, you know, I do a top 10 list every year. And all I had to do was go back. And I've been doing top 10 lists professionally since 1985. So I have my entire top 10 lists dating back from last year through 1985 right here at the office. So it's easier for me to do it. But I think it would be a fun list to do. And if you guys want to jump in there and, you know, write down your favorite movie from each year that you were born. I had to go back to all the way to 1965. But I made the list. It's on my Facebook page, my regular Facebook page. We'll post it tomorrow on the show. We can post it on the show page. But if you guys want to do that and do a little prep and then call us in tomorrow and let us know what your favorite movies, you just fly down the list, your favorite movies from every year you've been alive. So, Esmeralda, you would go back to 83, right?
Yes.
Okay. And Dan, you'd go back to 81. Right. So that's what we're talking about. And then you go 81, 82, 83, 84, all the way up through last year. So, yeah. Then so that's a list of, because I included 2017 as so far, as a so far. You know what I mean? So that's 52 movies I made a list of. And so I thought it would be fun to talk about that on the air. Maybe you guys put your list together, put your thinking caps on, think about it, maybe look up online, see what movies came out during certain years and jar your memory a little bit. But, yeah, I did it. And I went all the way back to 1965, and I listed my favorite movie from each year that I've been alive all the way through Logan so far, which is, you know, that's my favorite movie so far in 2017 is Logan. So, all right. So that's a little homework assignment for you because I like to give out homework. Dan, you know that.
And diagramming sentences.
I do like to diagram sentences. And diagram your list. No, I'm kidding. But so think about that. Jeff in San Diego says, okay, here would be Jeffapalooza. You ready for Jeffapalooza? Jeffapalooza would be Oasis, The Beatles, Tom Petty, and Billy Joel.
Could you imagine the fight that would break out because of the Gallaghers yelling at the Beatles? Do you think they would be respectful?
No, they wouldn't. By the way, did I tell you? I've talked about this on the air, the Sacha Baron Cohen story that he told on Conan.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I have.
It's one of the funniest things I've ever. I'm John Lennon. I'm going to stab you in the eye. It's so funny. Dougapalooza would have Otis Redding, The Who, The Beastie Boys, and Johnny Cash. Wow, that's quite a palooza. By the way, Otis Redding and The Who did play together at a few fests. Beastie Boys didn't. Not with those guys. Oh, man. Are the Beastie Boys, they're not, you know, they're not recording anymore without him, are they? They haven't done anything. Have they recorded, the two remaining Beastie Boys?
I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because Ad Rock's died. So why would you? Yeah. That sucks, man. Ad Rock was awesome. All right. Dan, do you have a palooza or do you have some artists in your brain that you would palooza?
You know, this kind of got inspired by the Great Moments in Vinyl conversation where they were talking about the first time they heard Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Mm.
And, you know, I remember like stopping and looking at the TV and watching that video. You know, it was on in the background. And so I went with artists that made me stop.
Yeah.
And you know, so I'll start with Pete Yorn for Thursday, Oasis for Friday, The Strokes for Saturday, and The White Stripes for Sunday.
Wow.
Each one of their debut singles made me stop and be like, who is that playing that music right now?
Yeah. And those are all, I believe, possible palooza.
Right.
That's like, you didn't even go back in time. You didn't resurrect a dead guy or anything. Those could be on the list for any year. So, all right, we're going to break. Esmeralda, think about your palooza, okay?
Okay.
All right. And we'll get to Esmeralda's palooza and my palooza and your palooza. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. The news is coming up next. Yeah. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. Yeah. Our old buddy Patrick picking some Level 42 because he and I are the only fans of that band on the planet. And we both love that band very much. That song's called Rooted from Level 42. I would love to palooza those guys. Get Level 42 out there. Mark King, one of the greatest bass players in the history of music.
We've kind of already been doing yours.
Yeah. Because we know it's Saga, Flicker Stick.
Ready for the World.
Ready for the World, yeah. Gonna get all these guys out there because you're gonna get Let Me Love You Down. So, yeah, man, Flicker Stick and Saga, Ready for the World.
And
who else did we have?
What's Word Up?
Oh, Cameo.
Yeah, Cameo would
right,
be there.
Cameo, yep, that's right.
I would assume Morris Day in the Time.
Morris Day and the Time, sure. Especially after their performance at the Grammys. They were great. Yeah, I'd love to have a Cameo out there. I'm gonna wear my codpiece. I got a high top fade. I don't know. All right. Esmeralda, have you been thinking about your palooza?
Yes.
All right. Who would you palooza? We're doing paloozas, by the way. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. Go ahead.
Mine sounds like I looked it up. It sounds like a Q101 jamboree, but it would be garbage because those are the ones I always see. Like from the night, I go, oh my gosh, I wish I could have gone to that.
Are you going to Garbage and Blondie?
I am. Some strings are being pulled or something.
You have to go.
No, I will be going.
Yeah. I mean, that's a must.
But someone is going to, yeah.
Someone's helping you out with that.
Right.
Okay.
So we'll see. If not, I will give them all the money.
Yeah.
So Garbage, oh my gosh, what was that? Oh, No Doubt.
Oh, man.
And then I was torn because I just saw something and then I went, oh my God, that would be amazing. Missy Elliott.
Okay.
That would just be
she have to come out in a big garbage bag?
There would be many... Many outfit changes,
and you'd have to watch the entire show through a fish-eyed lens.
Oh, it would be amazing.
Yeah.
or I was thinking Moby.
Oh yeah, you like Moby,
but not because now whenever you see him, he only does DJ sets. He would have to do his songs because I saw him do it once, and he did it with a live band, and he was running around and playing all the instruments. It was pretty insane.
Okay, well that sounds like a doable palooza.
Yeah, they're all still working. So.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's see what Danny says. Danny Palooza would be Dave Matthews, Jane's Addiction, Foo Fighters, and Motley Crue. I would go to Danny Palooza. I would attend Danny Palooza. Paul Palooza. Paul says, Rage Against the Machine, Moe. What's that?
It's one of your jam bands,
I think. Okay. And White Stripes Reunion to close out the festival for Paulapalooza. Why don't I know what Mo is?
I thought it was.
I know the name. I mean, I just don't know their music.
Maybe it is. I don't know. I always thought they were jam bandy.
Okay.
But I
Well, that's not my thing, Esmeralda. I just like Dave's band.
All right.
I don't like Fish. I don't like the Grateful Dead. I can't stand those guys. Like, who else? Government Mule. Who are some of the other jam bands, Dan? Just for some reason.
Humphreys McGee.
Yeah. No. All the offshoots of the Grateful Dead. No. Fish. No. I can't stand that stuff. I just love Dave Matthews. And I know that's like, it's very, you know, it's an anomaly, I think, that like I've seen Dave Matthews like 40 something times, you know, and every time they play a song that's 16 minutes long, I'm happy. I left a Grateful Dead show. We talked about this before, right, Esmeralda? Did we talk about this?
Maybe.
A buddy of mine got me tickets because Sting opened. No, who
what?
Sting opened for at Soldier Field. Sting opened for Grateful Dead, and I love Sting. Sting is one of my favorites of all time. His new album, by the way, rules.
It's a weird combo, I think.
Well, it is a weird combo, but that was the only time he was going to hit the Chicago area that summer. And then he did end up coming back in the fall, and I saw him on that leg of the tour, too. But my friend, Mike Meredith, he and I were like Sting dorks. We're the same age. Mike and I are the same age. And went to high school the same 4 years, and our 4 years were dominated by the police. It was all about when we were in high school, both of us, when we were in high school, it was the police was, you couldn't touch them. They were the greatest band that ever existed during those 4 years. And Sting was the coolest dude ever. And so we stayed with Sting long after everybody left. Like when he started doing the solo albums that got wimpier and wimpier, we were still like, Sting rules. I don't care. So anyway, he got me, it was my birthday, and he got me a ticket. He's like, look, let's just go see Sting. And so we go, we see Sting. Sting plays, he played like a pretty good set. It wasn't like a 40-minute set. But it was at Soldier Field. It was probably with Sting, at Sting's, during Sting's set, it was probably half full. And then towards the end of Sting's set, started to fill up more. And then the Dead came out, and it was pretty packed at that point. And they played one song, and about 7 minutes into the one song, Mike and I looked at each other and said, we're leaving. And we left, and all the Deadheads who were going, because we were walking against the grain, because everybody was walking towards their seats and stuff, you know, and we were walking again, and they're like, where are you going, man? And we had our Sting shirts on and stuff. We looked like a couple of dorks. We bought a bunch of Sting merch. We saw Sting at the Grateful Dead. Grateful Dead start We Leave with our Sting merch, and everybody's mad at us. That reminds me of this story, a quick story. Because Mike and I went way past, you know, liking Sting to when it was uncool. And here's where it became uncool. And Dan, I think you know this story. I was watching like MTV, and the video they did a song for the Three Musketeers movie, the one with Charlie Sheen and Kiefer Sutherland, which is a terrible movie. have you ever seen that Three Musketeers, Dan?
A long time ago, yeah.
It's just, brother, have you ever seen it?
No.
It's Kiefer Sutherland, Charlie Sheen, Oliver Platt! Oliver Platt is it. And it's awful. And I shouldn't be laughing about it because Alexander Dumas is one of my favorite writers, and those are some of my favorite books ever, and they ruined it. But anyway, Sting, Bryan Adams, and Rod Stewart did a song together called All for One. And it was for this stupid-ass Three Musketeers movie. And I saw the video, and people were calling it ass because it's Adam, Stewart, and Sting. So they were calling it ass because they were making fun of it. And the song is as bad as you could imagine. Those three guys passed their heyday making. And in the song, Sting is wearing a skirt in the video. It's not a kilt. He's wearing a skirt. So my phone rings. The video is playing. My phone rings. It's a friend of mine. He goes, Are you seeing this? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, are you defending this? Like, not only does the song suck, not only is he with Bryan Adams and Rod Stewart, he's wearing a skirt. And I'm like, yeah, all right. And then that was like, I was still defending him, and my friends would be like, you're a moron for still defending this guy. That is so far from what the police used to do. I mean, he's just not the cool Sting anymore. So, and then when he came out and assisted Puff Daddy on the Every Breath You Take thing at the MTV Music Awards, my phone rang again, and it was Oaken. And he's like, you can't defend this. And I'm like, no, I can't. I've now drawn the line. And staying out there doing the, you know, Every Breath You Take with Puff Daddy dancing around like an idiot, I was like, okay, that's enough now. But I'm still a Sting fan. But anyway, real quick story. I used to be in an improv group that we put together called Three Bean Salad because every improv group has a terrible name. And Three Bean Salad is a terrible improv name, and that's why we chose it, because we purposely wanted to have, like, the worst improv. Hey, come see Three Bean Salad if you want to laugh. So it was me and Mike Meredith, Steve Walker, Rich Sohn, and two girls, Nicole and Beth. So we had a rehearsal at Mike Meredith, and Mike is my buddy who is the ridiculous Sting fan. So we had a rehearsal scheduled for a rehearsal for just like me and Rich It's just the guys we were rehearsing because the girls couldn't make it. So we were just going to do a quick rehearsal and throw some ideas around. So I was there with it was me and Mike and Rich, and Steve was late, which was usually the case. Walker was late. So Mike has a whole bunch of Sting merch. Mike is a very big guy, and sometimes even if he buys merch that doesn't fit him, he'll buy it, just like hang it on his wall or something. So he's got like a box full of Sting. He had a box full of like Sting T-shirts and stuff. So when Walker was on his way, we all took our pants off and put Sting T-shirts on. So we all had Sting hats and Sting T-shirts and no pants on, and Mike put in the best of Sting's videos on his TV. So when Walker comes in, we're dancing around in his living room to Fields of Gold, and we're dancing around to Fields of Gold in Sting shirts with no pants. Walker comes in, he stands, he looks at us for like 30 seconds, gets up, walks out the door. So that was, I really wish we would have videotaped that. I really do. Just his reaction alone. He comes in, three morons with no pants and Sting shirts on, dancing to Fields with good Fields of Gold in front of a TV. A bunch of morons. Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to tell that quick story. All right, we got a break. What's your palooza? 312-981-7200. And we'll do that for a few more minutes, and then we're going to talk about songs that you might not know were covers. That's all coming up right here on WGN. This is just hard to defend. 708 area code on Wildcard Wednesday said they had to hear All for Love after hearing you talk about it so much. That's by ass. Adam Stewart Sting. Dan, do you see the video? You see what he's wearing in the video?
Yes. Rod is also rocking some great dad jeans because they're like up to his armpits. I don't hate that song, though, I will admit.
I swear, man, the first time I saw that video, I'm like, man, Sting, you just keep making it harder and harder for me to defend my love for you, dude. You can't do this. You can't. And I used to love all three of those guys I used to love. I used to love Bryan Adams. And I used to love Rod Stewart. I still love Sting. I don't care. And as long as Bryan Adams plays, like, you know, his good songs, that's fine. And if Rod Stewart just plays stuff from Small Faces and through his second solo album, then it's just fine. So, okay. All right. We're talking about... I'm sorry. Just so stupid. So we're talking about paloozas. What would your palooza be? And we're getting a bunch of texts in. A-Aaron palooza would be Blink-182, Korn, and Rammstein. Alex Palooza, what do we got? The Rammstein fan club listening?
Literally back to back. I was like, what are the chances?
Rammstein, Block Party, and Foo Fighters. You know, I saw Rammstein. I have no idea why. Why did I go see?
It wasn't on the Lollapalooza bill?
No,
no. It would have been that time.
I went with a buddy of mine, Jim, who is he's a prog rock and German rock fan. And we went, you know why we went? I know why we went, because he convinced me to go, and it was a pretty crazy show. It was actually very memorable. Those guys are nuts. Rammstein, Schlong, Schling, Plot, you know, it's insane. But their music is featured prominently in one of my favorite David Lynch movies of all time, Lost Highway. And Lost Highway came out the year that we went to see with Jim and I. Jim convinced me. He's like, yeah, man, you like their music in Lost Highway. And I'm like, yeah, but it was just featured. It wasn't like the whole movie wasn't a Rammstein concert film. It was just the Rammstein songs were featured in the movie on the soundtrack. So, but I saw them. They're nuts live. I will say they put on a hell of a show. I own no Rammstein. No, that's not true, because I have the Lost Highway soundtrack. So I do own some Rammstein. All right, more texts. Jam band texts here. 773 area code says entry level jam is Dave. Oh, so a lot of jammy people can't stand Dave. My husband is one of those guys. So Dave is entry level jam band. All right,
it's a gateway.
It's not for me. It's not. It's not a gateway. I still can't stand Fish and the Grateful Dead. You know, it's not like pot leads to heroin in this case. That's not the deal. 630 area code says, I saw Dave once, went to the bathroom, waited in a long line for a beer, got back to my seat all during one song. Yes, that will happen. You know, if you go to see a Dave show, when you can spot, first of all, if you ever go to a Dave show, and I've gone to many, many, many Dave shows, and Esmeralda, you went to one, if I remember correctly, right?
Begrudgingly,
because your boyfriend at the time has great musical taste and took you to see Dave.
Ugh.
Anyway, when you can always tell when the single Dave fans, which guys are the single Dave fans. There's a lot of them, by the way, because it's mostly single puka shell wearing, sandal flip flop wearing, you know, douchebags who go to these shows. And I'd be the first to admit that. But I don't dress like that, but they're all around me. You're surrounded by them. But you can always tell, depending on the set of what night you go, who the single Dave fans are, like the real Dave, like, you know, hardcore Dave fans who are single guys. Because half the place empties out when he starts to play Crash. Because that's the song where you pee. That's just it. If you're a hardcore Dave fan and you don't have a girl with you who wants to like snuggle and kiss while that song is playing, you go to pee. That's when you go get another beer. That's when you pee. Oh, as soon as you hear, and not that I don't like Crash, because I love that song. It's one of my favorite songs of all time. But that's when you pee. So that's for all you non-Dave fans out there. If you want to spot single male Dave fans at a show, if that night on his set list he happens to play Crash, watch that place, half the place empty out, the beer lines get long, everybody's peeing. That's when you go. Here's a Robapalooza. I like Rob. Oh, Robapalooza. Esmeralda, I'd get tickets for Robapalooza. Are you ready for that?
Who's going to be there?
Rush, Triumph, Dave, and Big Head Todd. Not too sure about the closer. Not too sure about Big Head Todd, but the first three, yeah. I thought he was going to go all Canadian. Where's William Shatner? Did he send a Palooza in?
I was thinking the same thing. I haven't heard from him yet.
By the way, have you seen, I know you were railing against Dancing with the Stars.
Oh.
Did you see that William Shatner really has it out for The Bachelor who's on it? Mm-hmm. He's been tweeting like, we have to get him off the show. Like, I don't even understand why.
Wait a minute. So what? William Shatner watches The Bachelor?
Or no, well, I don't know what he has against the guy. why he's so mad about it. But yeah, he wants him off Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, the guy from The Bachelor is on Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
Oh.
So I don't know if maybe William Shatner watches The Bachelor and he just was real mad about it.
That's funny.
But he really wants to get him off the show.
That is hilarious. That is really funny. No, I haven't seen that. And I can't stand Dancing with the Stars. And I know I don't understand that show. And I know that Rossi's on it, man. Grandpa Rossi's on it. I can't watch it.
I saw that. It looks so stupid.
No, I can't watch that show. That show's ridiculous. Well, I've tried to watch it several times.
Well,
and
they
did your song that you hate so much. They did Go Cubs Go. I know.
Yeah.
And Mr. T is on it. Is Chris Kattan on it? What are we doing, man? I mean, I don't understand that show at all. I really don't.
It is kind of funny, though, because there's a lot of people who are catering to Nick D outside of dancing.
The cast of this latest Dance Stars with the dancing are a lot of people I like. I love Chris Kattan. So, but I'm not going to watch that crap. I've watched 5 minutes of that show, 10 minutes here and there. I've tried to watch it like every season. I end up trying to kick my TV through the window. I can't stand it. All right, we got a break. We got the news coming up. Then we're going to talk. We'll finish up the paloozas, and then we're going to go into songs that you didn't know were covers. News is coming up. Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah! Peter requested... What? Def Leppard and Taylor Swift duetting on Photograph. He picked it because you said you love the song. I do love the song. It's one of my favorite songs of all time. And it's from the series Crossroads. Wow. So now what is it? Just suddenly I have to like Taylor Swift now because she covered a Photograph? With Def Leppard? That's awesome.
That was one of my favorite songs, too.
Oh, I love that song.
I love the beginning of that song.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That whole album, that
Pyromania
is an amazing. So is Hysteria. Hysteria is a great album, too. Those two albums, yep. Phenomenal. But, man, Photograph, that's one of my favorite songs. Because we were talking last week about all songs named Photograph, but then you guys told me that there was a Nickelback song called Photograph. So, because the Ringo Starr song, Photograph, is great. Wow, all right. All right, Taylor Swift. Earned a couple of brownie points there. Like she needs them from me. she's not successful.
Well, was that mashup?
No. She was performing with them on a show.
Yeah, like it was from 2009. Crossroads was like I think CMT did it, like yeah. Country Music Channel. Like they brought in country acts and they brought in their favorite non-country band and they performed songs together.
Yeah. And she chose Photograph by Def Leppard, so that gives me, I like Taylor Swift. I just don't like her music very much. I liked her. I loved her on SNL. When she hosted SNL, and I think that was right around 2009 as well. Don't you think, Dan? It had to be, because she was dating Werewolf Boy.
Right.
At the time. And it was right after the Kanye West thing. She was great on that. I thought she was great. All right, good for her.
2009.
Oh, see, I know my SNL. You guys wouldn't have gotten that, right? If I had that, and what year did Taylor Swift host SNL? Wouldn't be very good. Okay, let's see. Jay says his palooza would be Smashing Pumpkins, Sonic Youth, and Cypress Hill. All three suck, but at least I could see Homer get shot in the belly with a cannonball. No, yeah. My palooza would be 765 area code says Cheap Trick, Paul McCartney, Pearl Jam, U2, and Al Green. Good Lord. You'd charge a lot of money for that one. 224 area code says Tommy Palooza would be Dave Matthews Band, Tom Petty, and Foo Fighters. I'd go to Tommy Palooza. I would certainly go to Tommy Palooza. Do we have a lot of Dave fans listening to the show?
Well, they are your fans.
Yeah.
Your headquarters for Rammstein, Dave Matthews,
and Saga.
Nazareth fans.
And what was the last one, Dave?
Nazareth.
Nazareth, God. Yeah, you said all those Nazareth fans out of the woodwork. And, of course, Saga and Flickerstick. 815 area code says, I'd like to do two paloozas, one for the summertime, one for the fall. For summer, it would be Springsteen, Seeger, Petty, and the Jayhawks. For the fall, it would be Blondie, Ramones, Clash, and Replacements. All right. Now, you're talking about bringing some people back from the grave for that second palooza in the fall. Several people would have to come back from the grave because you're including the Ramones, the Clash, and the Replacements. So you're going to have to bring. So, Beatle Palooza 920 says 4 days each for separate and then last day all together. Wow, that'd be great. Okay. Chris from the North Side. Chris Apalooza. Offspring, Pearl Jam, Tool, and quite possibly the best damn band that ever walked the face of the planet, Metallica. Chris, are you going to see them? Jimbo. Jimbo says, how about Tommy Two Tone, Wang Chung, Naked Eyes, and Eddie Money? I saw them recently at Joe's in Rosemont. Great show. Listen, remember when I found out about this on the air? I almost lost my mind. Because this is a show that's, why wasn't I there? It's, come on, are you kidding me? Tommy Two Tone, Wang Chung, Naked Eyes, and Eddie Money? How does that not fill up Soldier Field for three nights? How does that not happen? Canadian Bill. Oh, here he is. William Shatner. Canadian Billapalooza would be Heart, Bare Naked Ladies, Bachman Turner Overdrive, and Jeff Healey. The reason I included Heart was because The first two Heart albums were recorded in Canada because they couldn't go home because of the draft. Yeah, because Heart's not—they're not from Canada. They're from Seattle. They couldn't come back. What? Because of the draft? Heart? All right. But all those other people are Canadian, yes.
See, I was guessing it would have been Saga, Triumph, Crash Test Dummies, Bare Naked Ladies for Canadian Bill.
Yeah. You got to put Rush in there, right? Don't you think Rush is the most popular Canadian band? If you were to go, hey, name a band from Canada, wouldn't Rush be the first one that you would name? No, for me, it would be Saga. But wouldn't it, Esmeralda, you know, wouldn't you say that if someone said, what's the best Canadian rock band? People would immediately say Saga or Rush.
Maybe they could join together in a super group.
And just be all of Rush, Saga, and mm-hmm. Triumph, and all of these guys?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, man. Okay. Well, there's Canadian Bill. And by the way, Esmeralda sent me a link to the story featuring these angry tweets that William Shatner has been posting about the guy from The Bachelor who's on Dancing with the Stars, and they are hilarious. They are hilarious. He seems to hate this guy, Nick, from The Bachelor very, very much, and he wants him off the show. He wants him off Dancing with the Stars. And then I was immediately thinking, well, maybe he's so angry because was Shatner ever on Dancing with the Stars? Because he certainly is the level of celebrity that would be on Dancing with the Stars. Or he might be a little too A-list. William Shatner, I think William Shatner's a little too A-list for Dancing with the Stars. Tom says, my palooza would be Thompson Twins, Devo, The Cars, and Cheap Trick. Oh, Tom, you got my money. Are you kidding me? Miller Palooza, Rick Astley, Huey Lewis, Juice Newton, and Striper. Esmeralda, that sounds like right up your alley.
Love me some juice.
All right. Thank you for participating in your What Would Your Palooza Be? And again, if you want to join us tomorrow, one of the topics that we're going to do, I posted on my regular Facebook page, my favorite movie from each year that I've been alive. So going all the way back to 1965 through 2017 so far. And I listed my favorite movie from each of those years. And if you want to go back, we can make a fun list out of that tomorrow. And if you want to participate, think about it. Go back to the year you were born. Start there and go all the way through now. Your favorite movie of each of those years. You'll probably have to use your little internet system to jar your memory from, you know, from the years when you were like 1 to 6. You probably don't even remember. So, but yeah, it was a fun list to do, and I went all the way back to 1965. So go back to the year you were born, make that list, and we'll unveil the lists of favorite movies from every year since I've been born. So we'll do that tomorrow. 312-981-7200 for your text.